Say again, I'm glad to see everybody in the Lord's house this morning. I hope and pray that something could be said to be a help to you. I'm going to be speaking about a father today. And Romans chapter number 4. And I'll begin reading at, we'll begin reading at verse number 1. I'll have to skip down, okay? So you stay with me. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now go on down in verse number 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And I want to look in this, thinking about Father's Day and our fathers that are here, fathers that have gone on. I want to look at Abraham and several others in the Scripture today. But I want to go back and read verse number 18 and listen to what it says. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, that he might become the father of many nations. And so I want to look at that as becoming a father, being a father. Abraham was said in verse 1, that Abraham, our father, the apostle was speaking as pertaining to the flesh. That was to those Hebrews, him being an Hebrew or an Israelite, and but also being a father of many nations. In verse 17, I have made thee a father of many nations. He was made, he was counted as the father of many nations before those many nations came forth. But the whole time that Abraham lived, he lived by faith so that he could become that father that he was accounted to be. God looks at us as the father that you and I, men, should be, or that we will be.
or that we are to be. And our daily life, as we live for God, as we live by faith, as we trust the Lord, it helps us to become the father that God has already accounted us to be. And I thought about Abraham as a father. I thought about many others. And I said something earlier, and I looked up a few things. I thought it was important, to just see what the spectrum of the United States, and even what some things and the way they are around the world. Because, like I said, fathers, many fathers don't see the strength of their role in the home. They don't see their, influence of their life on their children's life, on the life of the whole home. And I believe with everything that's within me, the father, he is the head of the home. And if you take a father away from the home, then you have a home with no head. You have a headless home. You have not the direction that God would give if a man, the father, was in the home. And that's scriptural. Now, I looked at some of these things. Just bear with me for just a minute as I go through some of these things. And then we'll try to get into some scripture and some fathers that were in the Bible. And take our example from their lives and what kind of fathers that they were. It's been said that divorce is a major contributor to absentee fathers. In 1960, divorce in the United States was at an all-time high of 393,000. Now that's a lot. That's over a quarter of a million. That's almost, that's pushing, getting mighty close to half a million. Divorces, and that's a lot, considering that there were probably some 200 million people in the United States, or 250 million maybe at the time. There was only a small, very, very small percentage. But that's a lot, 393,000. That's a lot of broken homes. That's a lot of divorces. But in 2008, and we've passed that mark, the divorce in America was over 8,444,000. It had been said that there were one in almost every two or three marriages that wound up in divorce in the United States. Now they say it is over half that wind up in divorce. In 2021, there were 18.4 million fatherless houses, and a house without a father, four times more likely to be in the poverty level, is what the statistic said. A house without a father is four times more likely to be in the poverty level. There were 7 million biological dads absent from all of their children. See, there's a lot of dads that they've got some of their children, don't have some of their children. But this is 7 million that are absent completely from every child that they have. That's amazing to me. That's astounding to me. And the fatherless are twice as likely to drop out of school. They're more likely to be criminals, and they're twice as likely to commit suicide. In 2023, millions across the globe are fatherless, and they have no male role model at all in the home. biological fathers, adoptive father, or a stepfather. They have no male role model whatsoever. That's millions. I mean, untold millions across the globe. Now over 20% of fathers are choosing to not be present for their children. 20% of fathers choosing. They hadn't been made to. They didn't, some woman say, you're never going to see your children again. Or say, I mean, these men choose not to see their children. That astounds me. 20% of fathers choosing not to be present for their children. 43% of fathers don't consider their role to be as significant in their child's personal identity. 43%. 72% of America's population believes that fatherless homes are the biggest social problem in the country. If you could put the father back in the home, 72% of Americans believe that would solve a lot of social problems in America. I agree with that. When you go back and you look at the beginning, and I always try to go back to the beginning in things, and many other things, and look at what Genesis said. We have a man by the name of Adam. And Adam became a father. And Adam was a man who had no earthly father. So he had no example set before him. No example at all set before him. You need to think about that as far as Adam being a father. The one example he did have was his heavenly father. He was a man without an earthly example, but he had a heavenly example. Listen, as long as you and I, men, have our heavenly example and have a relationship with God, you and I can be the kind of father that we need to be. Even if you don't have anybody, there are a lot of people today, they will say, well, I didn't have a father. I didn't have a male in my life. I didn't have a man to show me or to teach me. Listen, if you put God in your life, you've got all you need. I thank God. Listen, I think people that have that male model in their life, what a blessing. What a blessing to have the man in the home, to have a daddy, amen, to have a male that would just take a boy and teach him anything, amen. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's how to keep a screwdriver out of an electrical socket. He's teaching him something of value, amen. Teaching him how to be a man, teaching him to take responsibility. Teaching him. And so Adam, listen, he had that example of his heavenly father. Adam sinned, even with the example. He made a mistake. Cain had his father Adam. Cain did a terrible sin. But fathers who will freely follow God, freely follow God, and choose to obey. Are you listening to me? I mean, taking responsibility for their failures. And don't put blame on others. Amen? I mean, Adam, even after he'd sinned, he took responsibility to work by the sweat of his face, didn't he? He did. He took responsibility. And so to be a good father is to, listen, take your heavenly father as an example. Freely choose to follow and obey him. And when you do make mistakes, don't blame it on nobody else but yourself. Amen? And stand in the gap and do what you need to do. Amen. If you have to work by the sweat of your face to provide for your family, that's the will of God in your life. Amen. Think about all that Adam was as a father. Think about the lives that he, I mean, all of us can look back to Adam. Can you imagine Abraham being the father of many nations? Could you imagine having that load on your shoulder to be the father of many nations? I mean, that just, that is more than I think my little old mind can comprehend. It takes the grace of God to be able to bear that on your shoulder. I mean, that takes help from above. Are you listening to me? And it takes faith. And I'll get to that in just a minute. Let's go on down to the next person, Noah. Noah found grace in spite of a wicked world around him. We read about Noah, and Noah carried out the will of God for his life and worked to prepare an ark to the saving of his house, didn't he? And you know what we find if you look at Noah's life, if you really look at Noah's life, the Bible said that he had went about, we don't know, we think it was maybe 120 years in building an ark. Well, if so, then Noah found grace. And listen, he did the will of God in his life. And the will of God in living by faith is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a day after day, week after week, year after year. Amen. Decade after decade, never stopping, never quitting, realizing what God has called you to be and called you to do, find the will of God and do it. Noah had the will of God in his life to build that ark, and that was what was going to help save his house. Do what you do to save your house. Don't forget about your house. Amen? I know there's been a lot of ministers made the mistake over the years. And I've heard many of them say it. It's been written in books that they won everybody else's family but their own. Don't leave your own family in the flood. Amen? Do what you do to save your house. Try to reach and save the world in the midst of it, but save your house if you don't save nobody else. Amen? Find the will of God and be obedient. Amen? Realize again that obedience is a marathon. It's a lifetime of work. It's not instant. It's not like instant coffee and fast food. Amen? That's the way we want everything today. We want it instant and fast. But in the things of God, and listen, being a father is not instant and fast. It's long-suffering. It's every day. I've heard mothers even, you know, talk about, you know, what it is to be, you know, a mother. Listen, a mother, listen, it never stops. It's round the clock. Some say, well, if I could just get a break. It's not meant to be a break. Raising children, being a father or a mother, listen, having a home and having a home that's following God, it takes faith. It takes work, labor. Amen? It takes consistency. It takes prayer. Amen? Abraham was the father of the faith and the father of the Jewish nation. And he endured the test of his faith. Think about what Abraham went through. Think about Abraham longing for a son. Messing up with Ishmael. Then realizing that God in His Word is going to do exactly what He said beyond Abraham and Sarah's frailties, gave them a son named Isaac. And then to ask Him to take that son, that only son Isaac, and offer him up for a sacrifice. Think about the test of his faith. Listen, Dad, your faith will be tested every day. Men, listen. I know that this goes against the grain, but I'm going to say it. I know this goes against the grain of today's thinking and today's, you know, all that's being said and done out here. But listen, men are supposed to be men. And men are supposed to be manly. And men are supposed to be strong. God built us strong. Amen? He built us to be what? The stronger vessel. Amen? Listen, nobody wants to hear a whining man. Amen? A complaining man. No, hey, that's what God built you for, to take the load of your family and work and provide, amen, and be the leader. Take it on your shoulders. You take responsibility. Look to God and be the man, the father God has put in your heart. Amen. Listen, whether that's biological father, whether you're the man that's been put in the home and now you've got a wife and kids and now they're yours, are you listening? They're yours and you're the man in the home. Take responsibility. Amen? And be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Amen? Look to God's grace and look to God for help. God made you to be strong. He'll help you to be strong. He'll help you to be the man that you need to be. That's right. Faith pleases God. When you look at Abraham's life, you realize faith pleases God and that we shall live by faith. We find that in Abraham's life, that we shall live by faith. Dad's father, it takes us to live by faith. Sometimes we don't have all the answers. We just have to trust God. We have to look to God and pray to God and wait for God to open up the pathway. Amen? We shall live by faith. God's purposes are revealed in phases in our life over a lifetime. Amen. If God showed you your life from here to here, you'd probably never get married, never have children. But God shows you His purpose for your life in phases as you go through life, step by step. Amen. What you're going to face, what you're going to go through. And He's there as your helper. He's there to help you to be strong, to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. To help you to be the priest of your home. You know what that means, don't you, man? You're the priest of your home. You're the mediator of your home. You're the one with the answer. You're the one responsible for the answer. I tell men everywhere this. Don't ever be so high-minded as the head of your home that you don't really take into great consideration the words of the wise helpmeet that God put in your life. Amen. That's right. God gave them to you for a reason. To see things that you may not see a lot of times. Amen? To help be there for you. And I'm not preaching on women today. I'm preaching on men. Faith pleases God, and we'll live by faith and realize God's purpose. And that test of obedience in faith. Faith never ends in life. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I've done my bit. Faith never ends. You're never going to quit living. You're never going to quit having to have faith. Well, I've been through my part. I've done enough. I've tested enough. No, not until you leave. Not until you leave. Amen? So that's why some men give up with their families. I've had enough. I've just too much. No, you ain't. You started it in the beginning. You're supposed to stay with it till it ends. Amen. Vow a vow and stick with it. Find your love. Find the love you're supposed to have. Abraham, Jacob raised 12 sons. 12. Father of a big family. And Jacob was a man that probably made more mistakes than the ones before him. Could you imagine the mistakes that Jacob, I mean, look at his life. Look at Jacob's life. But Jacob kept going toward God and found God and let God do in his life what he wanted to do. In Jacob's life, men, you'll find this, that wrestling with God is a losing battle. Amen. If you're trying to go some other way and He's done got you said this was it right here. Listen, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Follow the Lord. Let the Lord do in your life. Look what God did in Jacob. Changed him completely. Changed him completely. Don't be so hard that God can't change you inside and out. That's the life of a spiritual man. Is being a man, but then learning to be a spiritual man. Amen? Learning to be a man, and then learning when you're saved to be a spiritual man. Let God do the changing in your life. You talk about a strong hero for your family, you might be one. And I might be one. Amen? Walking before the Lord, Moses had two boys, Gershom and Eliezer. Moses found that with God all things are possible. That God could do miracles. That being a lawgiver doesn't mean he was going to escape from being a lawbreaker. Moses was a lawgiver and a lawbreaker. Men were not perfect. The one that upholds the law, like Moses, he upheld the law before Israel, but yet at the same time he broke it when he smote that rock the second time when he was not supposed to, when God said to speak to it. But you know what? Even in being a lawbreaker, I mean, Moses realized, you and I realize, that every day we need a Savior. Amen? You can be that lawgiver and that person that toes the line and makes sure everything is the way that it's supposed to be. But when we fail, go to God. Go on your knees and realize you need a Savior. You need somebody to show mercy unto you. It'll teach you to show mercy to someone else. More you take your example from your Heavenly Father, the more love, the more grace, the more mercy that you will have. But at the same time, listen, it doesn't mean that you're going to be, you know, just one of those free-for-all dads, you know, just let people get by with murder. We can't live that way. God never intended for us to live that way. to be strong and soft at the same time. David, the last one I want to look at this morning. David was a man that we learn that we need to make a self-examination. Many times David called out before God and said, Lord, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Men, we need to always take and do a self-examination. Am I the kind of husband I need to be according to the Bible? Am I the kind of dad that I need to be according to God's Word? Am I in the will of God? God, is there something that I need to see? Is there something, Lord, you need to show me? Is there some sin that would hinder my life or my home or that would hurt my marriage? And then in that self-examination, don't blind yourself. Remember when David had sinned with Bathsheba? He didn't want to see. God had to send a prophet. I believe it was the prophet Nathan. He told him a story about a man that had everything, all that he desired. There's nothing that he did without. And there's another man, he just had a little lamb. And he loved that little lamb. And that man that had everything took that little lamb from him. Boy, David began to be angry. He said, Who is it? He needs more or less, he needs to have a good talking to. He needs to be take that man's only little lamb after all he's got. And Nathan pointed his finger between his eyes and said, Thou art the man. Realize when we have sinned, listen, open our heart and our eyes before the Lord. Keep that stuff out. Men, we can't afford to have, you know, these things infecting our lives. Sin, listen, will always bring a consequence. Look what happened. He lost that child. We cannot hide our sin. God wants our whole heart. Look through the book of Psalms and you'll see Him telling us to love God with all of our heart. Worship God with a whole heart. Amen. Lift up our hearts unto the Lord. God don't want half of what we've got. He wants the whole of what we've got. He wants to be head of your life, head of your home. The Lord's always there for us. He never did forsake David. God never did forsake David. He didn't forsake Jacob. He didn't forsake Abraham. Amen? He didn't forsake Adam. Think about all the ones, even when they messed up, made mistakes, God never forsook them. God is a God that said He'd always be with us. Always be our help. We all need a Savior to help us. Abraham was not weak in faith. In verse 19 of the text of chapter 4, being not weak in faith. He may have been weak in body, but wasn't weak in faith. He believed in hope in verse 18. He believed even God in verse 17. Sometimes I wonder, Sister Mary, sometimes I wonder if I've really grabbed hold of that concept that I have believed God. I have really believed God. I find myself doubting Him a whole lot. I find myself questioning Him a whole lot. Not saying that some of that's a sin or wrong, but I wonder why. I wonder why. If He can be our everything, He can show me the way, and He is my strength, my example, my help, my joy, my peace, why would I ever leave that? Why would I ever doubt Him? Why would I ever leave Him? I'm glad He'll never leave us. Amen. He's a wonderful Heavenly Father. Amen. I want you to stand this morning.